Hey everybody, and welcome to the Young Adults Today YouTube channel, where we are just celebrating our fifth annual Young Adults Today Leadership Conference.
I'm Josiah Keneally.
And I'm Micah Keneally.
We're your hosts of this podcast, but we just have to say that this past weekend, March 1st and 2nd, right here in Minneapolis, was amazing. We gathered with leaders from six states and so many different churches and leaders. What was a highlight for you, babe?
Ooh, I would say my highlight is just seeing young adult leaders who are hungry for personal breakthrough as well as breakthrough for the young adults that they are leading, to be in a space, to be worshiping, to be dreaming passionately for the things that God has for them, but also the things that he has for the generations to come.
Oh my God.
What about you?
I think one highlight for me is just seeing everyone. There is a contagious community. People love being together. There was roundtable discussions. I loved the Sabbath meal. The venue at the North House Minneapolis was unreal. I mean, golfing simulators for an after party. That was incredible. Ryan Skoog, Terry Parkman, Joshua Edmond, you, the panel, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, so fun.
I think literally seeing everyone was amazing. And hey, would you do us a favor? Would you check out what a few friends who attended the conference from our community shared and had to say about this year's conference?
What's your favorite part of conference so far?
The family. All these people in here are just amazing. I love it. They're just so cheerful and joyful. And it's just like,
What's your favorite part of conference so far?
Probably the new friendships and the connections we've made. The roundtable discussion has been straight fire. It's been awesome.
Favorite part of conference is the connecting with people right now. That's my, okay, well, I should say, let me be a pastor. The presence of God is always life transformation. But that's a given, right? That should be at every place that you...
Josh. What's your favorite part of conference so far?
Well, number one, fanboy of Terry Parkman, for sure. And then also just getting to spend time with everyone.
Ooh, my favorite part is probably all the roundtable discussions, just sitting with groups of other young adult leaders and bouncing ideas off each other of like how our ministries are going, but also just discussing.
My favorite part of the conference so far has just been the relationships that we've been able to meet with other people, and also just the worship and the genuine like refreshment that we felt so far this weekend.
Okay, sweet. What's your favorite part of conference?
I think it's just getting to meet new people, connecting with like-minded people who love young adults or passionate about this next generation, and getting to pick their brains. And also,
this episode is brought to you by some of our new partners at GFA World.
Gospel for Asia and Africa and World are our new friends. They're based out of Texas. They were with us at the Young Adults Today Leader Conference. And we want you to check out what they have to offer for your young adults who might be exploring a call to missions. They have a paid apprenticeship program. That's a paid apprenticeship program where young adults can learn and discover the call to ministry, discover the call to missions, and be paid for it in the process. They don't want debt or finances to be a hurdle that gets in the way from preventing people to discover God's call on their life to the world.
That's right.
Will you check out this video? Thanks again.
I am super excited that GFA World is starting this apprenticeship program. It's 6 months long for Christian singles 18 and up who want to serve the Lord and know him more. So each person who serves at GFA World behind the scenes here in Texas represents 200 missionaries on the field, both in Asia and Africa. So when you serve here, you're representing these missionaries who are going out every single day and changing lives for eternity. One of the really unique aspects of this apprenticeship is that it's not just about you coming to serve and to work in the office and to experience ministry life, which is awesome, but you are invested in, and we as a community want to invest in you and help you come to know the Lord more. GFA World's headquarters is located in East Texas, about an hour east of Dallas. And for those who are part of this apprenticeship program, we have housing available for you where you will live right alongside as neighbors to our staff, walking distance from the office where you'll be serving each day. You will have your housing provided for, your utilities will be provided for. You'll just need to bring a vehicle. There will be a monthly stipend that we give you so that you can take care of your groceries and your living needs. And while you're here, you're going to learn so much about global missions. You're going to learn the names of unreached people groups that you can be praying for. You're going to learn about what's happening in these remote and closed countries that you otherwise aren't going to hear much about. So you're going to be taking part in interceding for them, in praying for them. And who knows, maybe the Lord is going to send you to one of those one day. But this is where it's all going to start. Every day from 8:30 to 5:30 throughout the week, we'll be in the office serving as behind-the-scenes missionaries. And then three times a day, all of the staff gather together for prayer and for intercession for one another and for the mission field needs. And throughout the week, we have a Tuesday night prayer meeting, which is 2 hours long, where we come and we pray more for the needs around the world. So this whole thing is just all live, work, and worship. It all comes together and combines in one awesome experience. The thing that's really cool and that I have experienced here is, like, I came to GFA World kind of for me because I wanted to grow in my walk with the Lord. I wanted to know Him more and learn to hear His voice. And while that was happening and while I was being invested in by all of these people in this community, I was also able to use my time to be impacting lives on the other side of the globe. So I was being invested in and lives are being changed on the other world. And I think that that's just a really unique experience. All distractions have been removed. Your bills are covered. Your housing is covered. Everything is taken care of. But we want you to be fully here to see what the Lord wants to teach you and how He wants to use you. So if you're finding your heart is beating a little faster and this little video has grabbed your attention in some way, this is where it's going to start for you.
Well, what's up, guys? Happy Monday. Welcome to the Young Adults Today podcast, where we hopefully help you start your week strong. And that could be in your leadership, that could be during your workouts at the gym, that could be in your volunteering, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, we pray that God is with you and He's going before you. I'm one of your hosts, Micah Keneally.
I'm Josiah Keneally. This is the Young Adults Today podcast, where we're fanatical about the next generation, the faith of the next generation, reaching young adults for Christ in our world today. New episodes drop Monday mornings early, like Micah said, and we consider it a gift when you subscribe, leave a review, and share this with your community. And jumping into 2024, our guest today, Jacob Salguero. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How are y'all?
We're doing great. We're so thrilled. Happy 2024, everybody. This is a little pre-recording, so we're in the future right now, kind
of. Let's do it. And look, we're going to have a conversation today about the future of the church, the faith of the next generation. We'll talk millennials, we'll talk Generation Z. And in that conversation, in this space, whether it's on Instagram, somebody that you've, I guarantee you've seen stuff from. And if you haven't, you're going to need, he's a must follow. You're going to need to check out his content. Jacob Salguero is a content creator, owner of Tomorrow Creative. And I would just say a leading voice when it comes to the next generation, the future of the church. And bro, I'm excited to have you on Young Adults Today podcast. Been waiting to ask. And I know you're global right now. You're recording from Spain. There's a time zone difference, but kick it to your story, man.
Yeah, man, I'm honored. I mean, when anyone says to talk about the future of the church, that's an overwhelming weight to carry. So I'm honored to even be in that conversation. Sometimes I don't feel like that should be mine, but man, whatever God wants from us. But yeah, I put it simple. You know, I was born in New York. I was raised in Houston. And I think Dallas made me who I am. So I've been all over the place, born to a single mother, dad who chose heroin over me. And that kind of became like the foundation of my story, which is a lot of Gen Z stories, you know. And I think for me, you know, God captured my heart at 16 years old at the local church. Got invited to a youth camp, and in that youth camp on the fourth night, I said, God, I hate you because you took my dad from me. I know you exist because I'm Gen Z and I'm spiritual, you know, but I hate you because you took my dad from me and I wanted to commit suicide. If I said, God, I will end my life unless you meet me here. Didn't know what I was saying. You know, don't challenge God. he'll do his thing. And this little white boy comes up to me, looks like Justin Bieber, like hair to the side, you know, do like that. And says, hey, the reason why you're doing drugs, living the life you're living, hate your life basically, is because you never had a father. And I never met this kid, didn't know his name, didn't know his address. Didn't know what a prophetic word meant, didn't know you know, the what baptism meant or atonement or any of those things. I was a classical Gen Zer. But in that moment, I knew God as a father. And, you know, in that moment, he changed my life. I met him for the first time. Unexplainable, like, how that happened. And since that day, I've been following Christ. Me and my best friend, we started a church in our high school right after that moment and saw 60 Gen Zers come to the Lord in a science classroom. And some of those kids who were in that ministry today are in ministry full vocational now. Never went to Bible college at that time of 16, didn't know any Bible. All I knew was Christ and Christ crucified, like in 1 Corinthians says. And since then, my journey's been going on. So, I mean, I got saved, follow Christ. You know, once you get saved, follow Christ, everyone tells you work at the local church. So, you know, I went to Bible school. Went to Bible school, a grateful local church, you know, helped me get through that too. And the thing that's, I feel like, marked me, I think set me in a different trajectory than most of my peers in Bible school was I was one of the few that were dedicated to the local church. From the day I landed in Dallas, literally my first day ever in Dallas, Texas, I was in the local church, handing out pizzas to youth group. It wasn't because I knew that, I didn't serve the local church because I knew this is the pathway to becoming an influencer. This is a pathway to preaching around the world. I did it because, man, Jesus changed my life in this building. God changed my life in this building. Mm-hmm. So if I give my life to this building, if I give my life to these people, man, can you imagine the other Jacobs on the other side of this? And even to this day, there's Gen Zers that I met on my first day in Dallas. I mentored to this moment. I can call them right now and they'll answer. So this, I think it's awesome that God put the local church such as a grip on my life without me and doing it intentionally where it's like I'm trying to use the local church to build a platform. No, it was either the local church or death in my mindset. So that kind of guides me where I am now. You know, I was a youth pastor in my past life. And God told me, put down the microphone and pick up a computer mouse. And I was like, okay, God, whatever, you know, that's weird. And went from preaching to hundreds of kids to working at a dentistry, making graphics. And God was working tension on my heart. And I think he was really showing me the other side of the church, but being a congregant, being a minister without being on a platform. And I just started posting my thoughts on social media. And all the stats I got was from my time in youth ministry. And, you know, I began to post my thoughts on Gen Z, my thoughts on that and things God's revealed to me. And now I'm sitting in front of you on a podcast talking about the future of the church. So I think it's the different things that God's done in my life from the moment he met me to this moment. Like he has strategically put me in these moments to really love his church and to see all different aspects of the church. As a Gen Zer, which is an anomaly, to actually love the church. So I think it's pretty cool that I'm in this moment getting to talk to you guys. So that's the background of who I am. I'm married. I've been married for 5 years in this May. I have a beautiful son. His name's Asher. He's about a year and a half at this moment. He is my little booger, and he's running and gunning now. So that's a bit about our family. So our family goes everywhere, and we're all around the world now, traveling, preaching, own a creative company, and that's it. Pretty much all about it.
Jacob, thank you so much for sharing. Okay, so Josiah and I are both millennials.
Yeah.
Where are you on the millennial and the Gen Zer? Are you like a full-fledged Gen Zer or are you like kind of borderline? When did you graduate high school?
I graduated high school in 2016. So okay. I'm 25 years old.
Okay.
So some people put 98 as a cutoff. Most people in the secular realm put 97 to 2010.
Yep.
So the oldest being 26 and the youngest being 13 or like probably 14 years old. So it's such an interesting gap, but I'm 98. I relate with Gen Z a ton because I went to high school with Gen Zers. If you're in like not a lot of millennials, a lot of times I was a Gen Zer. So my high school experience was mostly Gen Z and my college experience was a lot of Gen Z. So I consider myself Gen Z. I am statistically, but I feel that more.
Yeah,
my mentor's a millennial, so I know the difference. I can tell the difference between us.
Yes.
And I think it's cool, but I know that I'm not them, you know?
Yeah.
Go there for unpack what you just said for a second. You know, there's not a ton of age difference a lot of times between millennials and Gen Z, but there is some differences. Mm-hmm. How do you see that? What are some of the differences you notice?
I think Gen Zers are very technology focused. So a lot of their, how I explain it in a lot of my pop-ups is that in past generations, they compartmentalize different things. So you could, I can't say the word, but you separate, you know, online and real world. So back in the days, like you had, I never had a MySpace, for example. You know, a lot of millennials will make the joke about MySpace in front of Gen Z and no one understands. I didn't have that, you know? My first social media was Instagram. So I was like, that's one practical thing. But the one thing is that for Gen Z, online and the real world has become one. So my online world is the real world to me. When it comes to millennials, it's not that way. There is still a separation, I believe, in the mindset of millennials of online and real world. And that change as, you know, I grew up, you know, in middle school, I grew up with iPads. A lot of millennials didn't grow up with, you know what I'm saying? I grew up with the PlayStation 2 and they grew up with the GameCube, right? There's a lot of practical things where it's like, I grew up in the second generation while they grew up in the first generation of those things. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
They make jokes. Millennials make jokes about AOL dial-up. I had internet. You know, I don't know what dial-up is. I don't know the beeping sound. Stop making that sound. Stop making that joke in youth group. No one knows. You know, no one knows that. Don't make that joke at young adults. No one knows what that means. You know, but the thing is, I grew up with iPod Touch. You grew up with iPod Nano. Right. So it's the thing, idea is I grew up in the second generation of what you grew up. And it's the same thing in church. You grew up in a church where you were fighting for lighting, like red lights on stage or an electric guitar or to paint the youth group black walls. I grew up, it was already cool. Like I already had, you know, I was living in your sacrifices in a sense, right? You had to go through the first trial of things while we're living in the repercussions of that, right? And so that shows a lot. If you think about it that way, think about the church. Like, think about all the things you had to fight for the church. That's our normal now. So that's why we have such a different fight now.
Yeah. Yes. Completely. And you're dead on the money. I'm a millennial. I'm 32. And I like all of what you said. You're like, dial up. My first social media would have been Facebook. And I would have had Twitter, man, a few years before Instagram even came out. And so you're right. Like, I even remember our school, I was in fourth and fifth grade. We had like a computer lab, and at school they picked me and they're like, you'll be the tech mentor. So you come in an hour early. We don't know how to use these computers. So you go figure it out. And then you teach your class. Like, so when you talk about like iPod Nano, yep, that was my first musical like MP3 player that I ever had. You're dead on the money as far as just millennials. And I guess I forget that, like, oh, Gen Z would have been for sure Instagram being their first platform online. And
no, but I even love what Jacob, what you had said at the beginning, because it helps me. Like, no one's ever said it the way you described it. And it's millennials, we compartmentalize reality versus online presence, whereas Gen Z, they're one of the same. Like, both worlds collide. And I think it just helps me because I was 27 getting called into ministry, going back to school to become an ordained pastor and start that process. I was 27 on a college campus with a bunch of 16 to probably 24, 22 year olds. And I was like, Lord, why am I here in person when I could do everything online? And it's, Lord spoke to me. He said, I need to submerge you in this culture for you to understand the people that I've called you to. So even though you may be towards like the millennial side statistically, I think, Jacob, truly God has placed the Gen Z in you, in your DNA and in your approach and how to reach and disciple those around you, because you're called to that generation and they need somebody like you to help represent them, to help appoint them and anoint them and call out that greatness. So when it comes to even like the discipleship process, when it comes to whatever direction you want to take it, if you want to talk about some of the youth things that you did, or maybe even like the digital approach of discipleship and mentoring, how have you been able to do that? And what approaches have you taken that could be helpful for the listener who may be a millennial leading the next generation?
Well, I'll start with, I remember when I first started doing stats. No one was doing stats when I was doing stats. And I'm not saying that in a prideful way. I was saying that in a way where I wasn't going to Barna for research. I was going to like secular articles, which I still do to this day. I love the Christian stat game. I love that world because it's so saturated. I want to be in the secular world in a sense of how does the world see this Gen Z thing? So I remember God spoke to me just very subtly, like, you can't love a generation you don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a very simple sentence. And I was like, wow, you know, I suck, God, you know, I suck. Like, you help me, you know, like, and I remember I have two interns that could testify to this, but we canceled all of our youth creative meetings at this time. I think I had about 30 youth at the time in this youth group that I had. And we cut our youth meetings about, you know, service meeting and planning like events. And we spent that time instead studying statistics. And it was just a weird approach, but I just felt like, okay, we need to actually activate, like, know our generation. So we spent hours upon hours upon hours researching, reading articles, watching YouTube videos. And we created this whole list of like stats. And what we said is we're going to take these stats into these strategies. And then these strategies are going to be stories. And little did we know that was a prophetic statement, because from those 30 kids, we end up with 150 through these strategies of how to reach students. And we boiled it down to like, digital discipleship is not about scalability. It's not about how many followers I have. It's about reachability. How do I reach the people in my specific space, in my local area? And what I did was, you know, we probably only had like 700 followers on Instagram, but new youth were coming every week because of that, because a friend would send, you know, a video of me reading the Bible. I used to do a video that said, have you read your Bible today? That's all I did, an iPhone. Have you read? Because I just wanted my students to get better at the Bible. And I knew they were going to see my video, right? So what I did was I was just doing it to reach my kids, the reachability of reaching my students. And from that, what became local has now become global, right? Like I, in my life, my personal social media, I just made posts to reach the people in my local area in Dallas, Texas, in my immediate surroundings to help build value to them. What now became local is now global, right? And I think what we get caught up on is we see guys like me, Ron Starling, you see Brady Shearer, you see all these guys with all these followers, you know, you see Mosaic, you see the awesome churches with, you know, Elevation Youth, the craziest Instagrams, and you think that's the goal. No, the success of any online ministry, digital discipleship, is did you reach Timmy? You know, did you reach Jim? Did you reach Karen? Like, did you reach that person in your youth, in your young adult group, in your youth group, to be able to disciple them? So that's kind of how we are. My mindset has been around it was like, I gotta go local. Like, I gotta just love the people in my area and be able to reach those people digitally and disciple them. And from that, the fruit of that will grow, you know? And I think a lot of people just give up, right? They start posting online, they get 12 likes, you know? And they're like, I want, this is not fruitful. And a lot of older leaders who don't understand the connection, they're like, why should I do this? I'm only getting 12 likes. And, you know, I kind of communicated to people, like, if 12 of your young adults came up to you and said, man, that video you posted this week changed my life, or you would keep posting. But because you see me get 14,000 likes, you're like, I'm not doing good. But when you have 12 and you realize, okay, those 12, they're getting impacted. That's kind of the idea I have through around digital discipleship is like, man, like, think of the 12. I was posting for months getting 10 likes. I think I posted on my story recently, like a little screenshot of me getting 10 likes from the same swipe post I did in 2020. And it's like, no one sees those things, but the people who actually were moved by that, they know, you know, and they tell me, and they're in my life. And I think that's the thing. Like, I always kept a local mindset. And I think for a lot of leaders, young adult leaders especially, it's really, really tempting to try to, like, I want to grow this thing global. I want to reach the world. I want to change the world. And just change your area. And from there, God will do the rest. So I think discipleship, especially digitally, it's really confusing if you don't do it locally. And from there, God will give you the strategies for the rest.
You're dead on the money. And Jacob, there's really two parts to sociology, the study of people. Mm-hmm. And the first part is what you were talking about with statistics. It's demographics. You know, what is the data telling us and indicating? The second part really is ethnography, and it is stories. It's what are the people saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that my fear always would be that a generation like Gen Z, more data, they're more known through data, and more research has been developed than any other generation before. And so it would be really easy for a generation to become overstudied and underserved. And mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, to double down on what we were just talking about, like, getting that second piece of ethnography, mm-hmm. man, that's valuable. Man, hearing yeah. over coffee, over lunch, at a living room setting, grabbing a bite to eat, and just that personal story, testimony, even just in an area like Dallas or Minneapolis here or wherever the listener is, dialing into what are people saying, because sometimes it really matches up and the data translates through demographics into the ethnography. But other times you're like, you know what? This is an anomaly, or this is maybe more of a little bit different than what maybe traditional research would tell us. But one of the things that talking to you, I'm just picking up, is you love the local church. Talk about your love for a second for the local church.
Yeah. You know, I think it comes through pain. And I think that's such a weird statement. I think a lot of young adults need to hear, like, you know, you can't say you love something unless you've seen the worst of it. And I think, like, especially if you've been married, you understand that I've seen the worst of my wife and I still choose to love her. And I think of the same of the church. I've been extremely hurt by the local church. I've been wounded in ways that can't even comprehend, but I still love her. And I think that's why I love it so much. It's because it's done so much for my life. It's done so much for my heart. And I've seen the stories. I've seen the people who have been changed. And I refuse to give up on that. And the issue, I believe, from young adults is, and why we see such a dip in, like, young adults coming to church, is because their view is on the plane crashes and not the plane landing, right? Over 5 million planes land in the world every day, and only 5 end up in a fatal crash, right? Like, we focus on the 5. We're like, well, that one pastor fell, or that one person hurt me. And I realized, like, though that one person hurt me, man, I remember when that old woman gave me $2,000 to get me to Bible college. I remember when the church showed up, knocked on my door when I was 10 years old and there was no gifts under the tree. I remember when the pastor gave me a prophetic word when I was deep in sin and still called me forward. I remember, right? And I think a lot of us need to focus on the landing instead of the crashing. And I think that's where my love for local church is at. Man, my view is like, I still remember when you called me. I still remember when they showed up to my door. I still remember when you showed up to my friend's funeral. Like, I still remember those moments and how they marked me. And I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people just don't have remembrance of that. And I think for me, that's where my deep love is for local churches. I have remembrance of all the things that have been happening in that church and what's happened through people. And that's why I critique it, because I'm like, man, like, let's not stray away from what the truth of what God, like, God wants to do in a local church. How easily we can stray away into doing certain things where, man, the impact, if we truly are pure, love Jesus, love people, focus on discipleship, how many more Jacobs, you know, how many more of you guys can show up in the world if we were to focus on that? So I think that's where my deep love for local church is. I have issues with the local church in America, and I'm loud about it and I'm proud about it, but I'm also still a greeter, you know? I'm also still a giver, you know, like, you could do both. And I think there's a tension there that don't critique something unless you're willing to change it. And so I think that's for me. I love the church so much that I need to see it, you know, shift a little bit in America just to see people, you know, I want to see it pure again. I want people to get changed, you know? So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of my view. So.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that what you just said there is really powerful, of just being a part of the change mm-hmm. and, adding value where we can. And, you know, I guess talking about millennials for a second, I just saw this, that here at the end of 2023, Pew Research has done a study, and they've seen that millennial church attendance has close to doubled in the past 4 mm-hmm. years. It was at about 18. Now it's close to 40%. Mm-hmm. So millennials, there's really a rise in church that's attendance. Awesome. And I think that's good news. We've been praying for that. We pray and believe that there'd be more of that.
Yeah.
And especially with Gen Z too. But what's your take on that, as well yeah. as maybe even lead into what some of your thoughts on what could the church of the future, what might that look like?
Yeah. I think you got to think also, like, man, a lot of millennials are having families now. So that plays a huge part in a local church. A lot of people want to raise their kids in the church because of the health of their family. It's random, but Gen Z, I think, I forgot the number, but it's in the upper 40s, don't want to raise their kid in any religion, which is very interesting. But I think a lot of millennials get older, they start realizing how much more they need God, especially when it comes to having a family. So, and if you think about millennials, a lot of them were raised in church. So if you were raised in church, you're more likely to go back to it because you were raised in those roots. It's familiar to you. You know, you remember your time as a child. Like, a lot of millennials were raised in church compared to Gen Z, where practically none were raised in church, very few. So I think it's interesting. But I think that's dope. I think God needs more millennial families who love Jesus. And I think that's going to be awesome for the next generation, like Gen A coming up. I think the future of the church, though, is going to be smaller. And what I love about that is I think it's going to be more communal. I think as we continue to go on, millennials and Gen Z both have such a similarity in their number one priority is communal, community. That's the number one priority because we can get good teaching. I can get good worship. Elevation keeps banging worship albums after it. Like they're on a roll. They're on something. There's something in that pen, right? Like they're going crazy. But you can get the best worship, the best sermons, the best books, the best resources on my computer. And I think both of our generations can see that. But what we can't get is community. So I think the future of the church is going to be super communal, where things aren't built around a leader, but around, I come here for community. That even if there's a different preacher every week, I think the community is what's going to hold that together. So for me, I believe in the next 20 years, you're going to see a lot of local churches built and a lot of people you don't know leading them and a lot of just small communities being communal around each other. I think that's the future. And I think that's really healthy. Because I think what we've seen, and you've been in church long enough to see, man, there's a lot of like people who are falling out, stepping away from ministry because of the pressure, not even a big church, just even little church, the pressure of you being that guy or you being that girl. And I think what relieves that pressure is heavy communal presence. So I think for the future of the church is going to be random guys who work as a mechanic, but leads a small church of 40, 50 people, and they're just communal. And I think that's going to be the future. And it's going to be awesome because I think deeper discipleship will happen through that. But I could be wrong, but I really believe that it's going to be a lot of ordinary people. It's going to be your mechanic, your barista. It's going to be your principal at the school who's just leading a bunch of people who are working together into love of community. So,
yeah, Jacob, I think you're onto something when it comes to even just the millennials going back to the grassroots and deciding to raise their children within the church walls. I think that is very true and evident, even in some of the friends and family that surround us, whether it's across the country or here, we're definitely seeing them respond and kind of their faith being reignited for the sake of a good and godly marriage, a good and godly parenting tactics that they hopefully can come together for that community, because it takes a tribe, right? It takes a village to raise a household, and more people. And the older our children get, the more evident that we truly believe that. I mean, we believe it, but then you're in it. You're like, holy cow, there's so much weight and merit to that little statement. And
what you were talking about, both of you guys, with community.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a number of years working at a local business. And one of the things that jumped out at me is you listen to the customer. And I don't know if I'd go to the point where like, oh, the customer is always right, where it's like always and never and superlatives. But I think you've got to listen to the audience, certainly.
Yeah.
And it would appear to me, for the church leader listening, it would appear to me that the next generation has really indicated what they're craving, what they're longing for, and it is the transformative power of community. And I think we would do well to pay attention to that and then minister to that, not only felt need, but seeing the need, meeting the need. I think that's something that's so, so powerful.
Well, even just going off what you're just saying, Josiah, I would love Jacob's insight of, for the maybe the leader listening, maybe they're leading young adults, maybe they're next gen pastors where they have youth and young adults. Maybe it's a lead pastor tuning in for whatever reason. If you could tell an experienced leader one thing when it comes to knowing the next generation, what would you want to like tell them today?
That's a good question. I think the next generation wants to know that you care before they invest their life in what you care about. So hear me. They want to know that you care before they invest their life in what you care about. And I think what's been the issue is, hey, give your life to our to your serve team. Serve, that's why I feel like a lot of young adult groups struggle with serve teams. Like, your serve teams are so skinny because it's like you're trying to convince them to think about this too. The average young adult, I'm a young adult, right? I'm a parent young adult, but I'm still a young adult. I'm 25. Most of 25-year-olds are graduating college, just graduated college or going into their master's, right? I think going to church is going to me, I'm sacrificing 5-6 different other things in order for me to come to your church. So I think for a lot of young adult leaders, you need to come into mind that you should be excited and ecstatic that they're even in your building, right? And I think for a lot of young adult leaders is that, hey, we know, like, if you're a Christian and you are sold out for Jesus, and maybe if you grew up in church or you've been around good leaders, you know the church is vital for your life, right? We know that. But for a lot of Gen Zers and young people, the church is just an add-on to their life because they don't understand the gravity of this moment. So I think what we need to know is, hey, as a leader of young adults especially, I want you to know that I'm fully invested in you personally. Or there's another person on my team who's fully invested in your life before I try to get you to be invested in what I'm about. And I think as my leaders who came into my life, they were just invested in me. I naturally became excited about what they were excited about because I knew they were for me, right? So that's why when my leaders, I remember, just a quick story, if that's okay. I remember when I got saved, like a couple of weeks later, my leader, he was the most irrelevant, like, pastor of all time. You know, he wore the ugliest shoes, used to wear, like, plaid T-shirts, dressed, no drip, you know, nothing, okay? From Canada. I'm this Hispanic dude from the hood. I'm like, we can't relate, you know? But how he got to me was that he would put me in a van, and we would just go hang out together and do chores for the church. And he would just ask me a million questions and just sit there and listen. And I come to realize that he really cares about my story and he doesn't care about using me for his story. And I remember being a young person being like, man, I'll give him everything to serve you. And I did. I gave my whole life to serve him. Started cleaning toilets at the church. Never had to ask me, you know, vacuum floors, stack chairs. It was because I knew that this man was really invested in me and loved me for me. That if I gave my life to him, I gave my life to this church that says they love me, I'm going to keep going to it. So I think a lot of young adults, they see leaders as an add-on to their life and not essential for their life. Where in the past, in biblical times, the pastor was very essential. You know, they were the only people who would get the letter. You know, they were the only people who get the letter from Paul, or they would get the letter from whoever. And like, these were the only people who can give me the word. Now it's like, man, like, why should I have a pastor? You know, why should I have? And I think it's because, hey, I want you to know that I really care about you more than I care about what I'm doing. You know, so I think a lot of young adults really need to like lean in, and young adult pastors need to lean in to their people's stories and have leaders set up and raise them as pastors. You know, maybe not full time ministry, but in that role of like being fully invested in other young adults' life. And from that place, I can see young adults sacrificing other things because it's like, actually, they care a lot about me. They're actually looking forward to me being there, and, you know, so on and so forth. But
Jacob, I love that you share that element of story. I think there's so much truth in that of just like, it's not our job to convince them. You know what I mean? When we're in proximity with people, whatever God's doing in our heart and our life, it can become contagious around others.
For sure.
You know, and that's where we get to serve somebody else's vision, come alongside them and hold up their arms. And sometimes we can be invested in somebody else. And like you said, give your life to the church, give your life to them before you even give your life to Christ. And I think that's what young adults need to know. And next gen, whoever, wherever they fall, is like, I see you. I know you. I care about you. And I want to invest time with you. I want nothing from you. And I maybe don't have anything for you, but I would love to get to know you. And I feel like if I could describe you in the short amount of time that we've been talking, 38 minutes of having you or just meeting you for the first time, the word I get for you and for your life is intentionality.
Like, you seem like one of the most intentional individuals when it comes to your strategic approach, the stats you've been studying, your heart for the next generation. So for the young leader listening who really wants to begin their ministry, begin their journey, begin their marketplace impact with the end in mind, what advice and how would you encourage the young leader today when it comes to them, maybe just starting out?
Yeah, I mean, my answer is not going to be cute, but following Jesus is everything. Like, what I feel like a lot of young leaders have lacked is they believe they need to start ministry, but really all it is that you need to follow Jesus, and whatever he gives you on top of that is icing on the cake. Like, for me, my intentionality has always been love my neighbor. My intentionality has always been hate what God hates and love what God loves. My whole intention was to follow Christ. And from that space, God gives other things. What I think a lot of young leaders want to do is, I want to be in ministry. Okay, give me a mic. You know, give me a position. All right, make me a team lead. Like, give me a small group. You know, I started with loving and leading my peers to Christ. From that, God entrusted me more. From that more, God entrusted me more. And what I think a lot of young leaders, the issue with them is that, hey, you want to be a pastor, but you can't pastor your barista. Like, you want to be a pastor of a local church, but you can't even love the person across the street from you. And what a lot of people haven't seen, they see me preaching on stages. You know, they don't see sermon clips because I don't post sermon clips. Like, I don't even post podcasts. Because that's not who I am. I'm just a regular person. What they haven't seen was when I used to work construction and I led those people to Christ and we hosted Bible studies at lunchtime. What they didn't see was when I led my LGBTQ class, you know, leader. I mean, he was my boss at my bakery. And because of my life at the bakery and how I connected my life, he started going to church again. What they didn't see is my neighbor who lived two doors down from me saw how I treated my wife and how I didn't cuss, and he wanted to come to church because he saw my life. And what I think a lot of young ministers don't realize is that there's ministry all around you already. And from that, God will give you more. But you need to be intentional every day of, I'm following Christ. I'm loving my neighbor. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm living with holiness. I'm walking with fruit. I'm treating my wife good. I treat my children good. From that place, God will give you more. But what we try to do is, hey, let me go to Bible school. I need to go to this church internship so I can get in this room with these people under this person so I can get on this stage. The goal has always been the same. Follow Jesus, walk in Christ, love your neighbor. And from that, God will write your story, right? You know, when I was, it's crazy. I used to pastor, it was a random story. But when I was my first ever youth pastor job, I had four students. And at that time, I learned graphic design so I could make sure these students had a dope youth ministry. Little did I know was that 5 years later, maybe 4 5 years later, God's using graphics to change use me around the world, right? And what a lot of young leaders won't do is give their life to 4 students while working construction. Like, a lot of people won't give their life to their neighbor. And I think, man, if you really want to be in ministry, you don't have to wait till someone from a church appoints you. Follow Jesus. And from that place, leading your neighborhood, leaving your locals, from that place, man, God will put you everywhere else. So everything, you could say intentionality. Yeah, I'm intentionally following Christ. And from that place, and everything that I do, my job, everything that I do comes from that place. And that's why I'm intentional. Man, we just need to see lost people come to know Christ. I want to see my peers know Jesus. I want to see the world know Christ. And from that place of intentionality, God will give you strategies and give you ways and your specific gifting that he called you to do it. And I pray a lot of young leaders, man, don't get caught up in this whole cycle of getting a ministry job. And no, follow Christ. And if he leads you to that Bible college, do the thing. But even there, follow Christ. Lead your neighbor to Christ. Study his word. Be faithful in those things. And from that, man, God will do the rest. But if you give your whole life and you never touch a microphone, or you never touch a K on Instagram, or if you never have a big leader follow you, or you never take a picture with that famous pastor you want to take a picture with, but you follow Christ faithfully, your wife loves you and your kids love Jesus, you won.
Yep.
Right? So I think a lot of young leaders just need it. If I get that at 21 years old, what can he do with your life?
Seriously.
Right?
Seriously. Come on.
For real, Jacob. And I sense through
Sorry for the rant. I went.
Oh, good. No.
That was in me. I haven't been on a podcast in like, I haven't been in a podcast for like 6 months. So that was in me.
I think that's definitely for our audience, because I think what I've come across, Jacob, is so many young adults, or now young adults, who had a radical transformation at the age of 13 because there was a pastor there for them. And then all of a sudden they're like, because that pastor was there for me, I'm going to be a pastor too. Whether that was God's calling or just some thought that they had because it was a radical transformation in their personal life. I think we just need to know that we follow Christ. We don't follow the microphone. We follow Christ. We don't follow the crowd. Like, we follow Christ, just lead the sheep. Like, whatever God puts before us, like you said, like what we have, like I pray that everything we put in our hands, like God does turn to gold, because when we keep our eyes on him, we're building his kingdom and not our own.
Yeah.
And I think when we chase the worldly things and the fame and all the fortunes and everything else, the Bible says it's all going to burn up and it's not going to mean a thing. But what's going to be that withstands the test of time? And it's the living and leaving the legacy and impacting the people around them. And we have a motto in our house, in our ministry, that we are going to leave people and places better than we found them. It doesn't matter if we're at a gas station in the bathroom, there's a paper towel on the floor, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to leave this place better than I found it. If it's somebody, a neighbor outside cleaning her chicken coop, I'm going to go visit her and I'm going to leave her better than I found her. And I think when we can understand that, like, God sees us, he knows us, and it's behind closed doors when God's doing the most in our heart that nobody's ever going to see. Like all those little things that you said, like, nobody saw X, Y, and Z, but you know what? They see this now, but they haven't seen and don't know every little story that led up and into this point where God is giving you the microphone to teach, preach, and lead people to Christ. So sorry, I jumped in. Sorry. That was mine. My rant.
So good. I'm glad you popped in, because a thread and a theme this whole conversation has just been really a call to return to your first love.
Yeah.
And
stay there.
And stay there. And I think that it's such a sincere faith. When at least in my life, when I was called to ministry, the motives were like really pure. It was God asked me to do this. I had other plans. I had other dreams, goals, aspirations, but there was like a pure-hearted, sincere surrender to the call of God. And then it's almost like that Matt Redman song, like, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, because it's all about you.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I posted recently, I'm sorry, but we're over our time or whatever, but I posted recently, a couple weeks ago, actually, about Dear Gen. I do a Dear Gen Z post, and it's just a swipe or whatever. And I said, always fight for the purity of the why you started. And I'm like, people call, like, oftentimes, like, I'm very, very, like, aggressive about certain things, because I really, really need to fight for what God gave me from the beginning. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. That word guard means put into a prison. Like, I need to be aggressive with my heart, and I need to stand guard in front of it and make sure it's not any leeway behind it. I got a tattoo on my hand that says 1%. And the idea is, like, I don't want my heart to get even just 1% off or 1 degree off, because I don't want it to go to a different direction of why I started. And what God, when I put down the microphone and picked up the mouse, what God spoke to me specifically, he said, I don't care about how good you are at 18. I care about how good you are at 80. Because the issue is, a lot of leaders start well. They get the followers. They get the picture. You have a fire sermon at young adult group that one night. But do you still cry at the cross at 80? Like, do you still have your heart softened to, like, the things of Jesus at 80 years old? Like, do you still cry? Or are you still moved with compassion? And some of us are young adults. If you're a young adult pastor, like, some of you are young adult pastors and you haven't been moved with compassion in the last 6 years. Like, that was an awesome occurrence that always happened with Christ, like, compassion for the lost and broken people. Like, when was the last time you were moved with compassion? Like, and you know, like, I feel like a lot of us think, like, man, I need to get to 40 and I need to get those 400 young adults and I need to get this many salvations. Like, no, when you're 80 years old and you're sitting on that rocking chair, man, thank you, Jesus, that you still love me. Thank you, you still died for me. Thank you that I still get to live for you, because that's the finish line, you know? And I think a lot of us get caught up, especially young adults, in this era of the church, where we want to do the sermon clips and the content and the crazy introductions. And, you know, you want the podcast clips, you want the invites. Man, I remember working at a dentistry and crying and worshiping at my desk. And that was enough for me. And I think a lot of young adults, maybe you're at a bakery, maybe you're a barista. Man, do you still cry and thankful that you just follow Jesus? And I think that's it. When I'm 80, man, my biggest win is that my wife's still next to me. My kids love Jesus and my heart still soft towards the cross. And I pray that every young adult gets that. And I think God's using average people like me. I was working at a dentistry when he called me. And I think, man, if you just say pure your heart towards Jesus, what can he do with your life? You know?
Oh gosh.
So good.
Dead on the money.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Jacob. Mm-hmm. And I was just at like a little bit of a Christmas, you know, there was some business leaders in the area here in the Twin Cities, and I was invited to their Christmas party and got to hang out, met a couple of young adults who came up and they were just asking questions, found out about my faith. And they were like, wait, podcast, what? Like, so they're even checking this out now. And one of their comments was just asking what church I go to. So I told him and I said, hey, text me, let me know if you're coming. I'm usually at the 9:30. There's also an 11. Mm-hmm. And he just had talked about like, he was Gen Z, about 22, 23. And he was just like, grew up in church, even like goes sometimes with his parents, but just felt like out of place a little bit because he was just like telling me about his experience. He goes, well, I still go sometimes, but it's just weird. Like, there's nobody my age. Mm. And I was just like, man, I guess that's just really on my mind today because of this recent conversation I had like 2-3 days ago. And I was just wanted to talk to the young adult or the leader who like, you just feel like maybe there's not representation in your community or critical mass when it comes to young adults that are a part of your faith community at church. I would just say like, join it. And if you can't find it in your area, create it.
That's good.
I know that so often there'll be somebody 19 wants to reach their generation for Christ, checking out this podcast. And I just want to say to you, like, if that's you, like, see if there's anything in town, be a part of it, join what God started. But if there's not, it's possible there's not, but maybe there's a discontent in your heart because like, maybe God's asking you, you have faith, like what can you do about it to extend it to your generation? So I don't know if that's for a listener today, but Jacob, how we love to end the show each time is to put 5 minutes on the clock, go a little bit, rapid fire, but are you up for the 5 and 5?
Let's do it, bro.
Okay. Question number one, why do you believe in young adult ministry and that discipling the next generation is so vital?
Yeah. Young adult ministry is the translator between youth and adult ministry. You can't, the leader of the senior pastor of the church often struggles to communicate to young generations. That's why you need a translator. If you're not, you're speaking a foreign language to another generation. So think of young adult ministry as the translation of the main ministry, not a church plant.
Ooh, that's good. I love that. Okay. Question number two, what's a hobby that you enjoy outside of any form of ministry? What do you do for fun?
Yeah. So I love like coffee. I'm a big coffee connoisseur. I'm big into walking. That's a random thing, but I love like walking in the streets, looking at trees, going on long walks. I love creating. So I just create for fun. That's part of what I do. I love creating and I love sports. I am a LeBron James diehard fan.
So. All right. I love it. It's fun. We're in Minnesota, so we love the Minnesota teams and the Wolves. I don't know.
Anthony Edwards, baby. Jesus. I know. He looks like Michael Jordan. I don't know if you've seen those pictures. Those side-by-sides are crazy.
Is he not top five talent right now in the NBA?
He's up there. I wouldn't say top five, but he's up there. He's up there for sure. He's the best. He's top five young people for sure.
Future of the NBA. I'm biased because we're here.
Gen Z. Come on.
Way to represent.
But hey, man, here's the curveball.
Baseball now. Curveball.
Yes. Yeah. Or here's the turnover. If we ask every guest to just ask Mike and I any question they want to find out about us, about no questions off limits.
Killer. Yeah. What is your advice to a 25-year-old?
Ooh. Hmm.
I can jump in.
You jump in first.
I've been thinking about this. It's funny that you should ask. I just, one of the things that I'm really passionate about is relationships and community and networking, all of it. And I would just say to the 25-year-old that whatever God calls you to, it's going to require people around you, a dream team. Mm. And so if you can do a few things, and I've learned these from other people, but if you can build a board of advisors, like for you personally, before you ever plant a church or before you ever need it for a nonprofit, just a personal group of mentors, a personal board of advisors, that's the first piece. If you can build a network before you need it, of who would you hire? Who would your dream team be? If somebody handed you some resources and some keys, who would you hire? Or who would you want to work for? Who would you want to team up with? Like, who is that network that you're building? And it could be like a hybrid team. Like, man, if I was going to hire some, you know, gosh, just like, you know, just some work, like creative freelance, like who would you hire for getting some projects done? Get good at building a team of people around you. That would be something that I'm passionate about for the young leader.
Oh man, I like made some notes because there's lots of things in my mind always about this. I would say begin everything with the end in mind. And if you, and I would say invest in the people around you, invest in your family if you're married, invest in yourself if you desire a future family. Invest in your friends. If not, start praying that God would bring some friends that are going to have your back. Invest in fun, because if you're leading anything, you need an exit. Sometimes it just be something fun outside of your normal, and invest in your finances. So when you begin with the end in mind, you live life differently. And I would say in that, just begin praying that you live life with a heaven-minded urgency, because it's not what's in front of you that becomes the problem. It just minimizes the small problems that we might view as big when we take our eyes off Christ. And then if you are a parent listening, I would say, I've learned this a lot in the last 3 years. I've only been a parent for 3 years, three and a half, but teach a child in the way they should go.
Come on.
And I will say we desire probably to control our children, but there's a reason why the Bible does not say control a child in the way they should go. This Bible says teach a child in the way they should go. Yep. Wow. And I think that teaches us as parents that we're actually in control of nothing except for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Come and
on, that's so good.
How he downloads those things of how to love people, love places, love our friends, our family, not love money, but love that money can be leveraged for God's kingdom, and keep God at the forefront of it all. So we begin with the end in mind, is that heaven-minded urgency stirring and brewing in our hearts. The real things rise to the surface. The gold rises to the surface and everything else settles. And your yes will be yes and your no will be no. And you live life to the fullest in the process, I think.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Oh, man. Anyway, question number four. Great question, Jacob. Ooh, okay. What's one place you wish you could travel that you have not yet been?
South Africa. I don't know why I've always wanted to go there since I was in high school. Haven't been to a continent in Africa yet. I don't know, anywhere.
Cool.
I saw a random like YouTube video when I was like 17 of like a tiger there or something, and I was like, I need to go. Ever since then, I'm like, oh, I want to go. So if anyone wants to invite me to South Africa, I'll be happy to go.
Let's go.
You hear that, listener? If you're ever going on a trip, let Jacob know.
For sure. Hey, if we handed you the microphone and it was young adults and young leaders listening, tuning in, people who are passionate about the faith of the next generation, you could leave them with one piece of encouragement or advice, what would you want them to know?
Wow, that's good. I would say, don't underestimate what's in your hands and don't overestimate what's in others' hands. And I think what often happens is, man, I just have 30 kids. I just have 30 young adults. Man, they have 300. Man, I just have 2-member team. They have 20. The future is in a few. And I think throughout all scripture, God's like, I'm going to use a few people to do a lot of good things. So I think for the young adult leader who's like, man, I'm a young adult. I'm trying to fight the good fight. I'm trying to stay in this ministry thing. Don't underestimate what God's trying to do with your yes right now. I used to tell people, man, I'm just a graphic designer. I'm just a graphic designer. Little did I know, God was trying to use my just to change the world. And I think for a lot of people, they're looking at their hands and they're like, I'm just a barista. I'm just a young adult pastor. I'm just a worship leader. don't underestimate what's in your hands, because man, God can take one and make a million. So I think a lot of young adult leaders, if you're standing in front of your young adult crowd on whatever day you meet, you got to say, thank you, God, for what you've given me in my hands. And from that place and that estimation of, I'm going to steward this because God gave it to me, I can't even wait to see the stories that come out of the space because you decided to say yes to that call.
Love my it. Gosh.
What a note to leave us, the listener, on. Jacob, thanks a million for your time.
Of course.
Once again, this is the Young Adults Today podcast. I'm all wired up right now. Plug me in. I'm getting charged up right now, yeah.